You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Ashley.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for talking with us. You're out in California.
Yes, my favorite state.
Your favorite state.
I've lived in a lot of different states and I love being back home, so it's nice.
What in general brought you all over the different places that you have been?
My training and my husband's training and our education.
Different college, grad school,
medical residency, fellowship, my residency, my training. So yeah, it's brought us all around, but ultimately, now that we're somewhat settled, it takes forever in the medical world to get settled. I think we're settled. Let's circle back in a couple years.
What do you mean by that, taking forever in the medical world? Do you mean as far as establishing your professionalism or
that's a great question.
Patient base or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, just for me, I think personally, I did a lot of training. So I went to college and then I went to pharmacy school, grad school, and then I went and did my residency and then I got my master's and then my job has taken us a few different places, but really specifically for my husband, he's an orthopedic surgeon. So, he's 35 and in his first job. So, it's just a long road. You know, it's a lot of upfront investment. He did college, then PhD, switched to master's, then medical school, then 5-year residency program. Oh no, he did his master's for a couple years, then a 5-year medical residency, and then fellowship. And then he took a first job, which didn't end up working out. So then we moved about 6 months after that. So now he's in a second job, but it's really, he's 35. And so it's just a long road that I don't think a lot of people are aware of unless you're living in the medical field.
Yeah.
So I think what ends up happening a lot of times is people are like, oh, it's so cool. It's glamorous. It's doctor. It's blah. But the truth be told is, I mean, we've been through a lot to get to where we are now. So it's a big investment.
I think people think about the time a lot, but I don't think they think as much about the travel.
Oh, no. I mean, we've been away from a family essentially for 15 years. We've missed out on weddings, births, you name it. It's right. Been a big time commitment up front. So
I think
we're kind of starting to get to reap some of those benefits of just kind of owning your career and I don't know.
Yeah. Both. Hey, Ashley, tell us, for those that don't know you, most of the people in the pharmacy social sphere know who you are, but for those that
don't. I don't know. That's a loaded question.
For those that don't, give us your rundown.
The lowdown?
Of what's hot right now for you.
Oh, that's a great question. I like that question. So, I'm a third generation pharmacist. My grandfather was a pharmacist. My dad was a pharmacist. And then I went into pharmacy school. I've always loved the pharmacy profession. It has never steered me in the wrong direction. I've always had a lot of opportunities inside the profession. And I think one of the things that I recognized about 5 years ago was not everyone's at that phase, you know, where they don't see the opportunities that I always had this optimistic view. And what I realize is that how can I help people get more creative, get more transparent, and develop strategy in developing their vision in their career? And so about 2.5 years ago, I launched my brand of RX Ashley, which really started off in pharmacy. I helped pharmacists kind of go through career pivots or elevating their career. Even if they like their job, I help them kind of navigate their career. But what ended up happening about 6 months after I started with pharmacists was the pharmacists were getting success. And then the pharmacists would go out and tell their spouse and they would tell their sister and their cousin and their next door neighbor. And those people ended up not being pharmacists. They were architects, lawyers, professional athletes, physicians, CEOs, you name it. Any high level professional who is motivated and wants to really pick up the game in their career and just need help with, you know, just a safe place to go to turn to real trusted support. And that's kind of what the evolution of RX Ashley has looked like. So now, our main focus, I don't really work one-on-one with people anymore. I am really focusing on developing a community, a safe place for people to turn to get support in their career. And that is called Career by Design, our membership that I launched about 3 months ago, and it has 40 people in it now. So we're growing that every day. It's getting not just bigger, but just more fun and just safe and fun again. You know, bringing back some real rawness into people's careers, which I think the new statistic is it ranges from 50% to 90% of Americans are feeling overwhelmed, burnt out in their jobs. And this membership focus isn't just about how to prevent burnout. It's really how to develop strategies and implement techniques in your career to just make you feel like you're not alone and to make you Sure. feel like you actually have control over your career. Because I think a lot of times people feel isolated.
Right.
So with working with several thousands of people over the past couple of years, I've just like realized what is missing. And the missing link is a lot of times it's just that support. So, right. So that's what I'm focusing on. And I work a small percentage with one-on-one clients in, interview prep. So someone has an interview in a week or two or a month, I prep them for their interviews.
And Ashley, is this now your full-time mm-hmm. gig?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good
full-time.
For you.
Yeah. Very
Good
full-time. Yeah. It is full-time. I mean, my hours look different than they ever have before, but, right. I think that I'm serving people while simultaneously making, I mean, at the end of the day, right, I make money doing this.
Right.
So, I pay my bills. I pay my mortgage. I have credit yeah. cards. You know what I mean? Like I have all that right. stuff too. So I think a lot of times, sometimes, especially pharmacists, they inquire about me more. Like, how did you do this? You know?
Right.
But the truth be told is anyone can do what I'm doing. It's just more or less if you're interested in developing a business as part of it, like a service-based business, or yeah. is this kind of like your passion project, which it falls into both for me.
Okay. So Ashley, your grandfather and your dad were, is your grandpa passed?
My grandfather passed. I actually never met my grandfather.
Oh, me either. Well, of course I didn't meet your grandfather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
I didn't meet mine either.
No, so. I totally get that. He passed away about a couple years before I was born. He owned, he was first generation U.S. citizen, U.S. He immigrated from Mexico and he owned a pharmacy downtown Los Angeles. And he actually went to the University of Southern California. My dad went to the University of Southern California and then I went to University of Southern California for pharmacy school. So I really have this strong legacy.
Okay. What stopped you? Mm-hmm. Or I know you said you had that in you.
Yeah.
But if that wasn't in you to do something different,
sure.
what path would you have followed, do you think? Would you have
well,
gone?
Well, I don't feel like I ever made, you know, I get that question a lot. I don't feel like I don't belong in pharmacy. You know what I mean? Like I don't have that feeling of what else should I have done if I didn't do pharmacy? I never have that regret feeling. I never have that. Ugh.
No, let me go this way with it though.
Yeah.
You've gone different than the typical pharmacist might do.
Sure.
Was there a path that you would have followed your dad
in? Oh, sure.
Dad
yeah,
in?
Yeah. My dad was, yeah, great question. So my dad was a chief pharmacy officer at a large academic medical center, but he had like 20 different careers within his one career. My dad passed away in the middle of pharmacy school. So he's been a huge mentor of mine over my whole life. He just always loved his career. I mean, he just had yeah. such a robust career and I always admired that about him. He didn't always work as quote unquote a traditional pharmacist. He stayed at home with me for 10 years. He raised me essentially when my mom went back to work. So I just saw him dip into all these cool different, now it wasn't called a side hustle when I was growing up, but a passion yeah. project and just side businesses. He was a realtor. He owned a baseball, this is so funny. He owned a softball stadium because I grew up playing competitive sports. And so he got into this softball, baseball realm of batting cages. So he owned that for a couple of years. I just saw him really genuinely love his career. And
yeah,
and
it wasn't,
the foundation was pharmacy. Like he
yeah,
learned
so it
all
wasn't
that.
That you, it wasn't that you switch from your dad's role. Your dad was the role model for that.
Oh, 100%. My dad gave me the foresight to understand you have control of your career. You can do whatever the heck you want. Like literally my dad right. didn't work for 10 years. When I was born, he sold his pharmacies in the 80s, in the early 80s. And he sold them, didn't, he had, at that time, it was a pretty lucrative career to go down owning an independent pharmacy. And right. He didn't work. He worked as like a consultant, I think, part-time, very little. But he raised me, basically, and my mom went back to work full-time. And so, and then when I got into middle school, he went back to work and he was huge career. I mean, he just built, he rocked it. So I had the front row seat to seeing how you can build your career from all different starting points. I mean, peaks and troughs, yes, beyond.
Yeah. People often, pharmacists often, they either have a guilt feeling of something of not using their, you know, not using their career for what they're supposed to be using it for.
But right.
That doesn't, there's no such thing as that.
Right. And I get that a lot. Like, do you regret going into pharmacy? Did you only go into pharmacy because your parents wanted you to? You aren't really a pharmacist. And I just ask people, like, what does that even mean? First of all, I'm slightly offended. I am a pharmacist. I have a license. I take CEs. I did a residency program. I mean, I was on the path to becoming like a chief pharmacy officer or someone like a big leader in industry.
Right.
But ultimately what happened, if you want me to get into that, what happened was my husband's job moved us around a lot. And as I was moving around, as I was interviewing for other consulting positions, and as I was developing my own career, I took a step back and I asked myself some serious questions. Like, what is most important to me? How do I define success? And what type of legacy did I want to leave behind for my family? Because my dad and my grandfather left me such a big one that I wanted to kind of define that on my own terms. And I realized the things that I was innately good at, such as articulating myself during interviews, really standing out in a busy marketplace. How can I help other people do that? Because I witnessed as I was identifying myself and my strengths, I witnessed there's so many people out there who are really, really smart, really, really talented, super educated, super knowledgeable, amazing experts in their field, but they lack the ability to communicate and articulate themselves during situations like an interview. So that's where I recognized, hey, I could help those people. And that's really where the inception of ARCS Ashley came from just a couple years ago.
Where does, at some point, Ashley, does, you and I know that there's no reason to apologize for a pharmacy career.
Yeah.
At some point, do you hide that? For example, does it ever become an example? Okay. You're on a talk show or something and you're saying all the stuff about career and stuff like that. Does pharmacy play into that, or is that a hindrance for someone to say, oh, you're a pharmacist? Well, boy, if you're a pharmacist, you must have the same personality as an accountant or as a rocket engineer or
right.
something. Do you ever see yourself not
talking about my past?
Talking about that? I'm not saying
you
should. I'm just wondering.
You know, that's a great question. I think people don't really care. They just want to know if I can help them. They think it's cool that I have a background and that I can speak medical language and that I'm very educated. I think this is just from the feedback I've gotten just from a client last week. He's like, I read all about you and it's so cool, but can you help me get this job interview? You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, it's more about them, which I love. That's why they hire me. It's about them. It's not me at all. But, do I find myself hiding behind my PharmD? Do I find myself shying away from it? As I grow my brand and as I become beyond quote unquote just a pharmacist, sometimes I do, to be honest, because I feel like it holds me back sometimes. If I'm being totally honest.
I can see that. And I've wondered that. I'm not at that level by any means, but
because I think the culture in pharmacy and what we think is very isolated, bubble-ish.
Yeah.
And I like to just think that there's no bubble. Like there is no limitations, right? And
yeah. You're not putting yourself into a box, but sometimes by nature of that degree, people are putting you into a box. Like you can't go outside of that.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's a great question. Something for me to really like kind of reflect on and meditate on, because I don't necessarily believe I do that myself intentionally, but I might, you know?
Well, all right, so Ashley, you've got a love for the one-on-one interviewing. You take it to this group setting.
Mm-hmm.
What's 5 years from now?
My goal is to help millions and millions of people elevate their careers and to get them to feel like they're successful in whatever they determine success is to them. Whether you're a CEO of a large multi-million-dollar company or you're a stay-at-home mom, my goal is to teach people that they get to own their career and own their life, no matter whose standard.
Is that through your group? Is that through this process, this group setting, or do you have to do something, or is this a step to something else?
Oh, so I mean, for now, this is all my eggs are in this basket. I mean, this is really my baby. It's my child that I've birthed. This is really where I'm focusing on. My goal is to help the people inside this group as best I can. And, gotcha. And I'm putting all of my energy into that. Now, with that said,
you're very visible as a leader of those groups.
Very visible.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm accessible. And with that said, though, I mean, I definitely have goals of helping more people, reaching more people, but it's all about how do you get more people on board without having to necessarily it just be me. So, right. But that's kind of like down the road, maybe some books or some other things, you know?
All right. What are some of those? So books?
Yeah. I mean, this is a great question. Books, I envision, you know, I'm a keynote speaker and I love speaking in different audiences. Last week I spoke at American Pharmacists Association. Next week I'm speaking at the Young Architect Conference, which is totally different.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And that's kind of the realm I'm really growing in different professions because everything I do is transferable. It doesn't have to be just isolated to pharmacy. It doesn't have to be just isolated to one industry. So,
see, I'm wondering there if you get up on stage there and if it's good or bad to say, I'm a pharmacist. Do people know that when you hop on stage at the architect's place?
Well, my bio talks about that. You know, hopefully someone will read my bio next week.
if anybody reads those,
right? But it's more about so ultimately what people care about is not necessarily, and this is what I tell clients too, not necessarily your background, but how can you help them solve the problem that they have? What is the solution you bring to the table? What's your value that you bring to the table that will help them, right? It's about the audience. Like even right now as we're talking, it's about me and you having a great conversation. But ultimately at the end of this, I hope the people who are listening walk away with a different perspective, a different idea. It's really about serving them. And so when I have that mindset, it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just a vehicle of information.
All right, devil's advocate here. You teach someone to say, I can solve this, I can solve this, I can solve this. And every manager says, we need people to step up to the plate and do this and that. But then someone comes and they say, I can do this, I can do this. And the manager says, yeah, but you didn't say anything about doing what I want you to do.
I mean,
can that turn people away if the applicant shows almost too much confidence? I don't think so. I just want to be devil's advocate. What are your thoughts on that?
On having too much confidence or not meeting the expectations of the manager?
like someone, let's say someone applies to the pharmacy, let's say, and they say, well, I can lead your pharmacy into doing this and this and this. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I kind of was just looking for
a staff
someone
pharmacist
to do. Yeah, or a staff or something to do to carry out ideas with me, not necessarily to be a new leader. And I suppose it's what company you're in, too.
Yeah, I think it's about meeting each other's expectations. And depending upon how badly this person wants the job, they will be flexible to what you want because you are the owner. But ultimately, I think having a candid conversation saying, hey, this is what we need. Can you fulfill it? If not, then you're not going to get selected. That's what happened. You know what I mean? That's what bottom line. And it depends on what the candidate is seeking too. If that's not what they're looking for, then why would they take the job? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. They're usually going to be coming in to a place that needs that kind of, well, everybody wants a match. I guess at just different levels of, and you're not really dealing with people that are more than likely at, you know, minimum wage entry spots where, you know, the local hamburger joint wants someone not to,
I mean,
not
the
to have a vision. They just want them to flip burgers, you know?
Right. The people that I work with are incredibly brilliant, educated professionals. Sure. They are motivated. They just need help kind of tweaking their pitch.
Right.
And again, articulating themselves really effectively and again, communicating their message clearly. And that's, yeah. And it's not hard. It takes a couple of hours for interview prep. It really isn't hard. It's investing. It's a little bit of investing in themselves and actually getting them to commit to themselves and committing to, you know, going through the course and going through, because I put them through a course before they meet with me. So that takes about 3 hours. And then I give them homework, kind of stuff like that. And we meet over something like what we're meeting in right now, kind of an online platform. And we work at it. It's not necessarily the most easy work, but if they want the job, how badly do you want it? And we get them there.
How many times, I imagine you're past that now with your own stuff. You're maybe using some of your tips and hints to sell yourself and not really to get your own job. I guess you still have to sell yourself all the time, don't you?
Every day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times my client, you know, I had a client last week who loved her. She didn't get the job that she wanted. And she called me crying and it was this whole disaster. And I was like, listen, and I'm going to say her name's Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, that's not her name, but I'm giving her a fake name. Sarah.
Got it.
Listen, like, do you understand that people say no to me every single day? Do you understand that I'm in it with you? Like, I get it. Like, you have to understand you're not going to be a perfect fit for everyone. Not everyone's going to love you. Not everyone's going to want to buy from you, whether you're an employee or me as an entrepreneur or a standalone business owner. Right. So I get rejected literally on the regular. I mean, it's like a thing. And I think people forget that, right? They see my face on social media, but ultimately, I mean, I'm paying bills too. I have to build that resilience muscle too.
Yeah. You know, I've always had in my life owning a pharmacy where customers come in and they're like ready to buy. But just with this little bit of podcasting I'm doing, it's, you learn rejection right away, but you have to have that rejection to get enough numbers to have that acceptance of people that, you know, will agree to be on the show or want to be on the show and so on.
Yeah. I mean, then it's all about making sure it's the right fit and making sure, you know, it is what you want to be doing. All that stuff comes to play.
Yeah. Tell me, Ashley, about your first time where you said, oh my gosh, I just made money on that. I mean, because everybody's got business ideas and so on. Was that kind of a thrill did that change much when you said, I mean, maybe you always pictured in your head of saying, holy cow, I just got paid for like this consultation with somebody, not a pharmacy consultation, a business consultation. Yeah. Do you remember that? Was that a significant event?
So here's the thing. Failure isn't really an option to me. It's just more about how do I tweak my plans? Mm-hmm. And I do remember the first time that, I do remember the first time someone paid me, but I wasn't as excited about it because I had bills to pay. And my husband was like, listen, you can do whatever you want, but you have to be able to pay back your student loans and we have to be able to pay our bills. So
you were under the gun.
So I was like, yes. I mean, I was all in, you know? So there's that one. But two, I do just specifically remember I had a client 2 years ago. I was working with him a few sessions on kind of helping him navigate where he wanted to go next. He was in a career transition at the time, and I was helping him build his personal brand, kind of get him some confidence that he needed to transition to the next step. And after working together 2 or 3 sessions, he called me. He's like, Ashley, I got the interview. Can you prep me? At the time, I had no idea that I wanted to be an interview prep person. I was like, sure.
Yeah, right.
Pay me. Sure, I can do that. I whipped something up within an hour. The next morning, I was interview prepping him. And we did a couple of hours together. The following week, he flew out to California. He was in Pennsylvania. He got the job. He called me a week later. He said, Ashley, you changed my life. You should have charged me more.
Yeah.
And I said, here it goes. All right, this is an idea. I recognize that, hey, people need this help. He's willing to pay me. And you know what? I helped him change his life. He got his dream job. So I don't really look at the money as much as the thrill. It's more about seeing the opportunity of how I can actually really change someone's life.
Right.
So the money comes because I have to pay my bills, right? Like I have to charge because this is my business. It's not my passion project. It's a blend of my passion project and all of the awesomeness that comes with it. But
you certainly can, and this is no news to you, but just for the listeners who maybe are not at the stages, you certainly can price yourself too low for somebody who only has one shot. If someone's got one shot at an interview,
right,
and there's two of you they're choosing from, and you're priced at 3X and the other person's priced at X,
right,
they sometimes want to go for the 3X because they think that you've got the three times the advantage to offer them.
Yeah. And I think it just, everyone starts from nothing, right? I mean, I didn't just start with all this. I started from scratch, zero, nothing. I had nothing. I had no interview prep experience. I had no career pivot experience. I just had a knack, an innate strength to want to help people. And I think it shows through when I work with clients. I mean, I think people just see how dedicated I am and I want to really help them. So the results are there. You just got to show your results first before someone wants to really buy in. I have an entrepreneurial spirit. So just right. My dad was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur. My mom was an entrepreneur. So I have that kind of bug in me to want to grow. But yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I'm so focused on achieving the goal of helping as many people as I can right now through this membership that's where it lies. But ultimately, oh yeah, I would want to put on more live events. I would want to hold in-person retreats. I mean, you name it. I'm in it. I love that stuff.
One of my daughters graduated from high school this year, and her friend is an influencer on
I don't even know what that means. YouTube. Everyone can be an influencer. Like, what is an influencer? Let's talk about that. What's an influencer?
Well, it might be an influencer on scale. Well, I've got like one. She's got like 1.9 million followers. I've got like 1.9 people who are followers.
So. Hey, if one person is, you can make such a big influence on that one person. So I don't want to devalue that.
Talk about some of the recent news about the 600 pharmacists layoff at Walmart and the 200 Walgreens closing.
Right.
What
that
advice would you
me.
Have to somebody listening
it,
right
it
now?
It devastates me in the sense that, how do I say this in the most empathetic way possible? We had to have known this was eventually coming. And I think it's a matter of how we respond, right? It's how strong we are as a profession collectively. And we really, in this economy, in this marketplace, unfortunately, there's not a lot of safe territory. And this is not a pharmacy problem. This is not an isolated pharmacy problem. So we need to get that across to pharmacists. This is not an isolated pharmacist problem. People get laid off, people lose jobs every single day. So how we define what is safe to us, there is not a ton of safe space anymore.
No.
So I think we have to get really, really crystal clear what's most important to us individually and ask those people, like, what are we doing to help ourselves other than just depending on someone else to do what you do, own a pharmacy?
Right.
I have myself gone through a career transition. I witnessed my dad go through multiple career transitions. I've been with my husband who has gone through career transitions in just him 8-9 months of practicing medicine. So
right.
I don't want people to feel isolated. Yeah. You know, just because my face is spread all over LinkedIn doesn't necessarily mean like I said before, I'm rejected every single day. So the rejection feeling isn't something that you should feel alone in. It's how do you bounce back and what are you going to do next? I mean, that's what it's about. And this is not the end of the road for them.
No.
But we do have to understand that we do have control over career. You just have to own it. I mean, it's really important. And it might sound like I'm lacking empathy. That's not my intention, because I want people to know that, I mean, I've been on unemployment. I've been through career pivots. I've been through all that.
Right.
I'm not an isolated victim. But you do have to ask yourself some hard questions. Like how badly do you want to get to your next level in your career? And what are you willing to do to get there?
Right.
What's holding you back?
Right.
So.
Actually, if someone's listening to this, like, right now, like it's, let's say it's noon on the day they're listening to this and they're, you know, driving around and have just happened. Can you think of any advice to give them something that they could do
right now
today, whether it's reading a book or calling a friend or doing whatever?
Totally. So first and foremost, get your unemployment. That is, I don't think anyone taught teaches us that in pharmacy school or in any type of life. I mean, go.
And they can start that online, probably.
I think so. ASAP, yeah, reach out to your state, get unemployment. You pay into that. So yeah, don't right. not get it. So that's right. first and foremost. Second, don't panic. You know, don't panic. Three, yeah. pull over and ask yourself, what is most important to you? And what do you need immediately in order to get you afloat? You just got to stay afloat for a while. A career pivot takes anywhere between 3 months and 3 years. So what do you need to do to get you closer to what your idea, vision of success means in your career? And take steps, small steps, every single day, 5, 10, 15 minutes to get you there. Because it takes a while. It takes time.
Yeah, it takes a while. And right now, the first thing might be is just getting past the next bill or something. But paying the next bill doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be doing that
for the rest
forever.
No.
Because that pivot takes a long time.
I mean, no. I would love to support those people in my membership. It just, we have to have more of a growth mindset than a fixed mindset. And what I mean by that mm-hmm. is a fixed mindset is, well, this is it. This is my career trajectory. This is where I am. And this is all I can do. I'm only a traditional pharmacist. I've only worked inside these four walls. This is all I can do. Now, if we can pivot to a growth mindset, that's where you can really elevate yourself and learn, invest in yourself, do some discovery, do some constant learning. And that's where I think you can find your sweet spot in that growth mindset. A lot of times people who are burnt out are in that fixed mindset of, oh, I'm screwed. This is it. This is my calling. I went to pharmacy school, so I have to just be a traditional pharmacist. Right. That's the only option for me. That's not an accurate sentiment in my experience. So, yeah. And I know that sounds a little, I don't mean it to sound harsh. I'm just saying the truth of, you have to be in that continuous learning curve. I just see so many opportunities inside of pharmacy that I'm very optimistic that it's there. You just have to go out and get it and you have to create it.
Ashley, what kind of things in your business world right now give you headaches or keep you up or on your worry scale, if anything?
That's a good question. I think, quite frankly, the hardest thing for me is balancing my personal life with my professional life. I mean, totally honest, my husband works a lot. We have a lot going on with our kids and our family. And I think I'm giving my heart and soul to my business, but it's really just about juggling all of the different acts and learning how to really focus and strategize and turning down opportunities that maybe a couple years ago I would thought would be the most exciting, thrilling of all. But once you get to a certain point, you just have to really focus on.
Yeah, you got to focus on that.
On what does success mean to me and really staying crystal clear on my number one priority, and that's to serve the people and to help them understand what opportunities are ahead of themselves.
Now, let's say the reverse of that, that you've got pretty much any money or any administration help at your disposal. What are you doing job-wise, business-wise during the day?
Like, yeah. Okay. That's a great question.
What's the most satisfying if you didn't have to deal with all the red tape that we all
yeah,
have to
totally.
Deal with
I get that. I mean, I hate logistics. I hate backend stuff. But as a sole business owner, you got to do all that stuff. What am I doing? I'm writing. I love writing.
Writing.
Yeah. I love writing. I come out with blogs multiple times a month. I love free writing. I never really loved writing until probably about a couple years ago when I started working with an editor, and she really helps me develop my tone in my writing. And it's just gotten better and better throughout the years. And so I love writing. I love writing emails to my audience. I love connecting with them. I love creativity is something that I thrive on too. Mm-hmm. So developing 15-minute tutorials for the membership, I love doing that because ultimately it gets to one person and like I get to talk to one person at a time, but it's really hundreds of people. So
yeah, right.
Developing those types of tutorials is really fun for me too.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. So now we covered those two. The last question would be,
these are great questions.
Thank you. I think that we've all been through enough of the the ones that we think we have to cover. So I like to kind of peck around the edges
a little
bit.
No, it's good. It's helpful. I think people need to understand that.
It helps you. It helps you open ideas.
Yeah, and I think that we focus so much on kind of the stuff that you can read on my website. I think it's hard for people to understand really who I am and where I come from. It's nice.
Well, that's one of my thoughts is I like to I didn't preface our conversation with this, but it's fun for me to talk to leaders and ask them things that I can't read.
Right.
Ask them things that none of their employees could tell me or brochures or something
right.
So, all right. So here's the final one, Ashley. You are not allowed back in your business for a year and you've got plenty of funds to do what you want to for a year, but it can't be
working.
It can't be working.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going
to
do?
That would be hard to pull me away from my work because I do love the work.
I know it would, but you got to do that.
Oh my gosh, we would be traveling. We would be traveling all over the world. My husband and I love to travel, so we would be taking my daughter to every corner and just soaking up the different cultures and eating cool food and going to different beaches and different environments to learn more about what other people are like.
Would you go and stay, or would you pop back to the U.S. every month or so?
If my mom was with me, we would probably not come back.
If your mom was there.
Yeah, she's awesome. So if it could be my husband, my daughter, and my mom, I think, I don't know if we would come back. Don't ask that question. That's tough.
Yeah. What if you could work? What if you could work? How long would you go? Would you go for a week here and come back and work for a few weeks and then do that again?
Well, the beauty of what I do is it could come with me. So
Right. You can do it from everywhere.
I love having a couple days a week where I just get to focus on the people that I serve. But also, there's nothing better than having carved out time for just myself and just for my family too. But separate times, right? Time for myself to really reflect on self-care and what I need to be the best person I can be because I'm here of service. So I have to be good. So I serve my clients well. But also, I love spending time with my husband and my daughter and my mom and my family and my friends. I don't just say that. I thrive on that. So those are really important to me.
Well, Ashley, pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I look forward to keeping in touch.
Sounds good.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.